Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'ahotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very, very blessed and very fortunate to be able to broadcast with you, to you, live and in living color. Each week, of course, we are here, and certainly this is a very interesting show tonight. As usual, we try to bring you as many pertinent and updated kinds of information, conversations, and so forth. And tonight, we are, again, very fortunate to have been able to bring to you something that we feel is very, very important. Before we begin tonight's program, of course, we want to give thanks and praises to our Creator. And as usual, we are always very cognizant and very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Again, tonight we're going to bring you some very interesting information. For the past 4 to 5 years or so, there's been a family based in Louisiana, of all places. You know, those of you who follow the Genesis or, you know, was familiar with it, then you know, of course, some of the history of Louisiana. And certainly it's much more to it than that, because even since the Genesis, the one of the sisters of the Genesis, one of the actual Genesis brothers, a sister by the name of Katrina Wallace, has, of course, been incarcerated now for over a year on some trumped-up charges, and was warned before she was actually, you know, sentenced that, well, before she was actually arrested, really, she was told by the sheriff in Jenna that he was going to get her, because it was really Katrina who triggered off the Genesis, the demonstrations, the ability to get all that information circulated. It was actually Karina who was instrumental and getting that stuff initiated. And then, of course, it blew up and went into Michael Bay's and all other kinds of arenas. But the bottom line is it was, in fact, a black woman, the sister of one of the Genesis, who literally got in the streets and started making that issue a well-known issue. Well, at any rate, she's now incarcerated and, again, on some trumped-up charges. And we're going to tell you more about that on another show. But I just wanted to give you a little overview, more or less, of, you know, some of what Louisiana has been up to in the past recent years. Well, here we are again with a family by the name of Earl and Tanya Vickers, or Victorious, shall I say. And as it turns out, again, it's so interesting how with all of this ability for communications, we still are not able to get certain types of information. Now, this situation has apparently been going on for about 4 or 5 years now that I'm going to tell you about and that you're going to hear about. You know, again, it was a blessing that Sister Amy, who is a listener of Brother Ramasus' show, Legacy of the Nation, and also of our radio program, and just a sister who has been in connection with us over the years or for various reasons, she called in a couple of weeks ago and told us about this situation in Louisiana about a family named the Victors, and that there's a sister, Tanya Victors, and a brother, Errol Victors, who are incarcerated. And, I mean, it's an incredible story. But when you hear it, you're going to also know that while it seems incredible, it's also more than likely very, very true. In fact, I'm not even going to say more than likely. I believe it is true, which is why we are bringing this program to you this evening, because as it turns out, I've had the opportunity to talk with both the Vickers, both Errol and Tanya Vickers, and as such, it's just, again, unbelievable. These two people, these two, the husband and wife, have been incarcerated now for the alleged murder of a child, their child. Unfortunately, the child was 8 years old, and they have been tried, convicted pretty much of second-degree murder. Now, hopefully we can make this connection because I did speak with the Vickers earlier this week and also with a sister who has been working with their case, Sister Belinda Brown. She called me a little while ago to inform me that they are planning to call in tonight. Again, Earl and Tanya Vickers are scheduled to call in very, very shortly so that you can hear from them live what has happened to them, the fact that these charges are so bogus. And not only that, when you hear what has also gone on with this case, how all of their property, all of their money, all of their assets have now been taken, okay? We're talking about thousands upon thousands of dollars. Now, initially when I heard it, I was like, okay, you know, how many black folks, you know, have that kind of money? I mean, for real, for real. I mean, of course, there are some, but this kind of situation, it just sounded to me like this wasn't just like some wealthy, rich kind of black folks, you know. And as it turned out, it wasn't. These were hardworking people or are hardworking people. But the interesting thing about this case is that the Vickers were very community-oriented. They were and had really established contracts in their community whereby it kind of forced the local government to hold up to, you know, the various agreements that they make in some of their laws, you know, when they say X amount have to be given to minorities or whatever, whatever, you know, in this particular case specifically to the African American community. Well, at any rate, I talked to Mr. Vickers, and I can tell you he's very, very astute. And when I say astute, I mean in terms of intellectually, in terms of articulate, in terms of being able to know, you know, certain aspects of the law. And with that said, he is the type of person who is sovereign-oriented, meaning the way he and his family is, they deal with self-determination. They're not trying to be so much about the system per se, but recognize clearly that there are certain things that the black community, the African community that they resided in, should certainly have and have access to. And as a result, they worked on obtaining contracts and other things that developed business, that allowed businesses to be developed. And this went into the millions of dollars, okay? And those of you who work within any urban area in particular, and some in the rural too, but particularly in the urban areas, you know that these things exist, community development and this and that, all that stuff exists. And sometimes we are able to get into it and it be beneficial for our communities. Well, when I talked with Mr. Vickers, he told me very clearly about how that had happened, that they were able to get access to documents and so forth and so on that allowed them to maneuver. I mean, and I'm saying the community. And as a result, he had secured X amount of dollars for development and so forth and so on. The bottom line is that a child in their household from a previous marriage, meaning the sister, Tanya, was married prior to being married to Earl Vickers. And finally, the child was able to come and live in their household, had not lived in the household for a while, but finally the parent did allow this child to come and live with the Vickers. Well, it just so happened that the Vickers did not have all of the documentation in terms of the medical history of the child. And as a result, the child somehow went into an asthma attack and unfortunately died of asphyxiation. Well, it just so turned out that ultimately the Vickers were charged with second-degree murder of this child. And also what goes along with that were denied, I mean, so many of their rights, including the right to represent themselves and so many other things. I mean, when you hear the indebtedness of this case, you cannot help but to get involved, but to, you know, to do something. So hopefully we're going to have Reverend Pinckney to call, and I sent a message out to him. This thing happened so quickly, we weren't able to really, you know, connect with all the people that we may have wanted to, because I didn't get the call until very shortly ago that the victors would be calling in. We're hoping that they're able to call in because their lockdown time is 10 o'clock, but we are an hour different, so we are waiting for them to call in now. So, family, you know, please bear with us because, as you know, when you're trying to do prison calls, it doesn't always work out the way we anticipate. However, what we will say is, for whatever reason, if we are not able to connect with the victors tonight, we'll do a special edition so that we can accommodate, you know, that timing a little better. Again, we this was not scheduled earlier today. It just happened just a little while ago. And so, you know, again, if for whatever reason we are not able to connect, we will, in fact, you know, do a special edition later on this week. And, you know, that would be more conducive to their time. Okay, again, we're watching. Hopefully they will be able to call in. Hopefully if we cannot get the victors, we can get Sister Belinda Brown on, who is in Louisiana and has been working with the case. Recently, they did a presentation. She and her group did a presentation to the Justice Department in dealing with the whole issue of incarceration, mass incarceration, because in Louisiana, it has the largest amount of black folks incarcerated. And so as a result of that, a group of folks in Louisiana were very concerned, have organized a organization or a group in order to begin to address this situation. And so hopefully, again, if we're not able to get the victors on tonight, we will at least get in Sister Belinda and get her report. Okay, what we're going to do is, I saw Brother Ramesses was on a little while ago. I want to tap into him and see if he is still available so we can get some comments from him while we're waiting, and maybe kind of an overview of maybe what might be going on
okay,
Legacy of the Nation
tonight.
I know
what that mode is. Thank you. And, let me see. Let's see. Did we lose one? Yeah, we
sounds like he's working on his show as well.
How about you?
Okay, so what we'll do is tune back to him in a few moments. And again, we are waiting, hopefully, from the call from both prisons in Louisiana. What we're going to do in the meantime while we're waiting, and we thank all of you for bearing with us, because again, we are trying to make this connection, and sometimes it is, you know, not easy to do when you're trying to connect two prisons, as a matter of fact, because needs to say, Sister Tanya is in one prison and Brother Earl is in another. So what we're going to do is take a quick break, and I'm going to check to see with Sister Belinda what the progress is. We thank all of you again for, you know, allowing us this time to try to bring you this report, this live report. But before I take the break, I want you to know that the victors are scheduled to have another hearing on Monday, on the 26th. This is one of the reasons why we want to get this out as best as possible. I want to also let you know that there is a defense committee that is being formulated in their behalf, and so we're going to tell you a little more about that as well. And with the defense committee, we are also putting together a car caravan that will, you know, kind of go cross-country a bit, you know, at least through some of the states on our way to Louisiana in order to begin some direct action work and, of course, to make certain that the awareness of this case, of this matter, can get, you know, extended a bit further. So at any rate, we're going to take a quick break to see how the progress of this connection is going, and we'll be right back. All right. Again, we thank all of you for taking this time and this moment to share with us. you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. And we'll be right back. Family, we are going to check this line. Seems like we have a call coming in. Hopefully, this is the call we've been waiting for. So let's see. Okay, caller, you are at 7940. Hopefully, this is the call we've been waiting for. Okay, caller, you're at 7940.
How are you doing, Empress?
Yes, greetings.
Greetings. I heard you speaking about the Louisiana, the family.
Yes.
Thank you for really reaching out to the family. I just don't know how grateful I am for you to help the family because the family need our support.
Okay. Who am I talking with? Who is this on this line?
Sister Amy.
Oh, okay, Sister Amy. Well, thank you for calling. Yes, we were supposed to be receiving a call from them, and so we have been waiting. You know, we know that sometimes we can't do it, but hopefully we will be able to get them on tonight. But, yeah, we thank you, Sister Amy, for bringing this case to our attention.
Right, and I want you to call me and tell me what it is I need to do because I want to bring the sisters over to the show, and I want to, you know, join in the movement and do whatever I have to do because I did listen to what you said, and I want you to understand. I don't want to come because something tragedy is happening to me. I want to come because I understand now, and I clearly understand. If we don't get together, these animals will pick us off one by one. It's like the sheep without the shepherd, and they're just wandering, and the wolves just waiting for them just to eat them alive. And if we don't see it like that, then I don't know what to say, but I see it like that. We really have to come together because if we don't, they'll just pick us off one by one, and then they depend on us to be ignorant to the fact of what's going on. In other words, we are in a silent war, but the rest of us are just thinking that everything is okay when it's not. The evidence is there. When we can't get no justice, when our black men and sisters are being killed and gunned down by the police, and then they won't do anything about it, and then you know about this secret society, and then they robbing the motherland and taking the natural resources, putting it up in the UK vaults, and dare us to go over there and claim something that's ours, our artifacts and the jewelry that's from the motherland, which should be secured there, but it's not. And the game they play on us and to divide and conquer and to make us believe that we need them to survive and that they whatever they've given us is not ours all anyway. They want us to believe these different things when it is ours. Everything is ours because of where it originated from, and we are the original people. And even we going along with the lies being told to us in the school district, we got to make them tell, if they're going to teach our children, we need to be responsible how they're teaching our children, because you know the Chinese will not allow they will not allow, and other cultures will not allow them to make shame of the Asian race without it being told the truth. So we got to do the same. Thank
Absolutely.
You for sharing.
Absolutely, Sister Amy, and I thank you. And again, you know, it was such a blessing for you to bring this case to our attention, and we certainly appreciate your lack of, you know, selflessness or not being selfish, because we do know, of course, that there are some issues and things that you, of course, are dealing with and have to deal with. And but see, what I can say about that, Sister Amy, is that as we proceed in helping this family, I am certain that this is also going to be a benefit for others. You see,
yes.
That's how a lot of this oftentimes works. Sometimes when, you know, you have a situation, but then something comes up, I've seen it where while we are working on one thing, other people are able to get certain things addressed in their situation too, you see. So I suspect that will be, you know, what will happen in this case as well. Now, as it turns out, I did talk with the victors about setting up a defense committee for them, okay?
Yes.
And, you know, and this is important because we have to do things as organized as possible. And so
yes,
they,
ma'am.
You know, we're very much in agreement with that. And so that will allow us to begin to not only connect with folks nationwide, but to organize nationwide. Now, one of our brothers here already in Philly suggested that we begin to organize a car caravan, you see,
right.
So that from different states that are near Louisiana, we would set
right.
a time period where we would just stop at different states and then pick up, you know, 5 or 10 cars, and we keep on moving and keep on
that's
moving
right.
until we
that's
get there.
That's right, sister. That is right.
Right.
And that's what's going to stop them from continuing to do these things to us. No weapon formed against the righteous
okay.
shall prosper.
Sister Amy, hold that point. I think we have them. Hold on one moment. Stay right there. I do believe we have them now. Okay. Brother Earl, Brother Tanya, are you on this line?
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, yes.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing? This is Marcus Victor. I'm,
okay, Marcus.
I'm their son.
Yes.
I was unable to get them on the phone.
Okay.
I'm prepared to speak on their behalf.
Okay, no problem. And so, Marcus, what I want to let you know is that what we'll do, we'll talk tomorrow and schedule a special edition of the program so that, you know, we can maybe accommodate, you know, do it earlier and then maybe accommodate a better timing, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's at least give folks a general overview of what has happened to your parents. You know, let them know who you are. As you indicated, you are Marcus Victor's. And you are the son, but, you know, because a lot of the people that are listening don't know anything about this situation at all. So feel free, take your time, and, you know, just give us whatever information you feel that you can give us at this time, but certainly to let people know what it is that has happened.
All right. My dad is Earl Victor.
Mm-hmm.
He's a developer in Reserve, Louisiana. It's a small parish. It's St. John the Baptist Parish. It's a real competitive in the market, like in developing. And
yes.
My dad, he played a role in being, you know, self motivated and independent without relying upon, you know, getting jobs and stuff. He was creating jobs for
right.
African American community. And what happened was my stepbrother, my dad, he got into after my mom passed away from breast cancer, he married my stepmom and fathered in 5 children. And from there we became one family.
Yeah.
And an incident happened when my little brother was chastised by my mom, my stepmom,
mm-hmm.
and he had an asthma attack when they brought him to the to the hospital, they charged both of them with murder. Even though they had autopsy and everything, saying he had no internal, no external injuries that could cause death. So, and death certificate say indeterminate, they still charged both of them with murder.
Mm-hmm.
So, they, from years and years from that, it started since 08, they've been dismissing the case and reindicting the case and
mm-hmm.
doing it over and over again, changing the docket number, acting like it's a new case, but really, well, I mean, like, they dismiss the case and they reindict, but change the docket number, like it's a new case, but to use the same evidence for another case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on ever since then, like that. Multiple bonds, 8 different bonds to bankrupt them so they can't afford proper defense.
Mm-hmm.
The defense, the attorneys, he had over 21 different attorneys came to represent him. But each one that came was like, they was all tied up into the same type of, like a team, you know. The judges and all of them, they know each other. And when the attorney get in, they make a deal with each other and they pretend to really defend the people, but really it's all, you know, for money and for jobs. Money
mm-hmm.
is for their job and for their career.
Mm-hmm.
So the justice is gone. It's like that's a price for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they took all the money, they took his land, they took the house, they separated the whole family. I was in foster care since I was 16. I got out when I made 18.
Mm-hmm.
And they took, I ain't even seen some of my brothers I've never seen since 2008. They separated all of us. They took my baby brothers and they gave them up for adoption. When we still have family that were qualified to have them. It just attacked the type of person my father is strong, independent black person. Now I'm not just saying that. When I say something like that, when you come from someone's son saying something like that, they would think it down in this parish there's something wrong with me. You know, that hey, just go on, do your own life. But this, they stole my life, you know? That's
mm-hmm.
my parents. I want freedom for my parents. I'm not free as long as they're in jail. Because it don't make sense. I'm not gonna sit and pretend like everything's, you know, that they got nothing to do with me. I should just go on with my life. So the reason why we've been searching, Miss Belinda Brown, thank God we found her, is to find somebody that will hear us past this parish. They try to keep us isolated from everybody in the country and everybody from the outskirts to hear it and to step forward to, you know, touch somebody's heart so they could hear.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much being done wrong to multiple people all around the world, and they, like you're saying, there needs to be some type of organization that will get together and do some real action, because
mm-hmm.
you know, people, you know, it's hard. People it's getting cold. People getting cold hearted, and they're not
mm-hmm.
hearing when somebody really needs help. You know, when somebody's, you know, yeah, compared to like if you're drowning. People see you drowning and they know what to do, but they're scared to put themselves in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's
yes.
that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, we just need some help. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're taking them to court Monday and my parents, I seen this since 08. I seen is they've been representing themselves because they couldn't, once they broke them down so they couldn't afford self-defense, they forced attorneys on public defenders that wasn't even trying to defend them. So they, well, my mom and dad, they agreed to put a lawsuit out against a civil suit against the public defender's office so that they couldn't, it would be a conflict of interest to represent them so that the judge couldn't, So they now they're trying to represent themselves. And now they're being ignored, even though the type of person my dad and my mom is, I call her mom even though she's my stepmom, but she takes the place. She takes the place as a mother. She, you know, the name of a thing is the function, and the action of a thing is the name of the thing. So I call her mother because she acts as a mother to me.
That's right.
And you know, people don't understand that, but it's about the true core thing is about love. If you don't have love, you can't start nothing in life without love. And I'm watching my parents no matter what happened. And even though they demonize his character by portraying him as a monster on the show America Most Wanted, they portray him as some type of monster. That's way sick in proportion. I'm telling you, it's crazy. I couldn't believe it. When I seen that, my heart just hit the ground. I don't know what to do, you know, for help. Because it's that type of portray my dad as some that, you know, the man that would do is sick. And they did the autopsy, they did everything. I was there when it happened. He had an asthma attack, and when they brought him to the hospital, it was too late. And you can't charge my parents with murder for that. Murder is the intent to kill. You can't charge my parents with murder for none of that. So as if that was would be a remedy for anything, to take away both of the parents from the family, just devastated the whole family, you know?
Yes.
The system don't care about nothing. All they care about is money and politics and power. That's all they care about. And true power has come from love. It comes from being inspired. It comes from God. It comes from the heart. And if we could get together and recognize what really needs to be done, we could make some real changes. I'm glad to be speaking to you, you know, and anybody who's listening. To, you know, we gotta unify. It's the only way we could defeat everything and make steps toward a new, the next level. We could speak, we could talk, and we could recognize what's going on. But unless we get together, there's nothing we could really do.
Marcus, let me ask you. And I know that, you know, this has been such a traumatic situation for you and your family, and I know, you know, in talking with Sister Belinda earlier, that there are people who are concerned. Has there been any type of rally or demonstration yet to bring greater attention?
No, ma'am. It's completely down. This parish is completely dead. There's no action. No rallies, no movement. It's like suppressed. The spirit out here is suppressed. People don't understand. They don't care. You know, you need a brighter focus. Some people are sharp. You know, minded the way they think. If they see it on TV, it's factual.
Sure.
And when that came on TV, that was enough for most people. But I'm asking people, if you want to know for yourself, it's not hard to figure out. Don't just eat what they give you, you know. Don't just take what you see.
Okay.
And it's you know, I'm here. All my brothers went in the courtroom. We went, made statements. Put on record, even when the lawyers that supposedly supposed to represent us told us not to speak, not to say anything, while the other side was demonizing us and demonizing my father and my mother, they demonized them while they telling us we can't say nothing, putting a gag order, the judge Mary Becknell put a gag order on us, saying that we couldn't speak in the media, couldn't speak on the computer, couldn't make no comment toward the case because it will affect the jury pool. And then they went all the way on national TV with America's Most Wanted.
Wow. So, see, this is why, again, it's so important that an independent defense committee is established, because a judge cannot put a gag order on citizens, you see. They only have that jurisdiction over the lawyers and the parties involved, directly involved. But a defense committee, an independent defense committee, you know, we can implement freedom of speech, you see. They can't put a gag order on us. That's why you have to know and understand, and not just you, but all of our people need to begin to really better understand how to operate, how to get certain things done. Lawyers, even those that have good intentions, can usually only do but so much within a certain realm, because they are what is known as officers of the court. So for real, even though they're representing a client, they're speaking for that client, but they still can only say and do but so much. They have to do it within a framework, whereas the masses don't have to do that. You see, and this is again why, you know, I know that we are now moving into a phase of this that can, in fact, make a difference, because once we get the masses of our people involved and get this information circulated on a national level, that's going to be a different element. The so-called powers that be do not have control over that. You see, but it's very important, and I spoke to your parents about this, and they, you know, agreed. It's very important that we are careful, though, because what the system does, when they see momentum building on something, they'll start sending in their puppets to derail it or to redirect it somewhere else. And see, we're not going to allow that. We're not going to let that happen.
Right, and, you know, I'm just looking. You know, this, you know, in a lawyer perspective, it's pretty much everything you need to defend, have to come in and defend my parents is there. The work is already done. We got most of the discovery and all the paperwork is ready. The evidence is there. Everything they need to defend them is there. You just can't find a lawyer that would do it without some type of money, and raising money by yourself is hard. You know, that's
right.
You know, that's how it works in this system, and I don't know, I don't understand why. Because when you're seeing somebody suffering, it should push you farther beyond the, you know, your physical necessities, and come and be like, let me help these people out. But that's not how it works in the system. Down here, they want money, and we're trying to find a way.
Right, but Marcus, no. Let me just say this, and then I want you to continue. But it's not just down there, my brother. It's not just there. This is the way the system is nationwide, all over. See, you know, and again, tell me again. You're what? You're 18.
No, 21.
Years of age. Oh, you're 21 now. Okay. Well, you know what you will now begin to see. Because you will have to play perhaps even a bigger role in this now. And with that may have to do with possible a little traveling. But what you will see is that this happens so much all over the country, all over the country. Because black folks in this place, while people think we are so free, because you don't see us being hung or you don't see us being beaten like you used to. But the way they have this stuff now is so slick. It's so sophisticated. But it's the same old stuff. It really is. So I know that oftentimes in the urban areas, in the southern areas, you know, they're really able to show their cards a bit more than they are in the north. In the north, they play real games. They smile in your face and, you know, even will hand you a couple of dollars or whatever until they're ready to cut your throat. See? And these Negroes up here, they go along with that. See, in the south, it's a little different. They just let you know straight up that they hate you. Okay? So, but it's the same, the bottom line is the same thing. We have brothers and sisters all over this country who are incarcerated and are innocent. And lawyers who take their money and keep it moving all the time. Okay? So I just want you to know that we're very familiar with this. Some of us have also have loved ones or close ones or comrades or whatever who have gone through some similar situations. So, you know, we know it, have seen it, have experienced it, have been involved in it. But again, it's very important that you stay strong, stay focused, and just know that we will win. It may take a lot of work, and it will take a lot of hard work, but the fact is, from what I've seen so far, I haven't read all of what you sent me yet, but from what I've seen so far, and certainly from what I've heard so far in talking with your parents, I believe strongly that an injustice has happened here, and I strongly suspect that because your dad was involved in the community and getting jobs and making them people uphold, you know, their own little laws about, you know, what's supposed to be happening with economic development and so forth and so on. I strongly believe that they saw the opportunity to make all of that just, you know, go in a different direction, saw this tragedy, and now are utilizing that to really interrupt and you know, discard of the work that was being done.
Right.
Okay. So now the problem, or one of the problems is in getting a lawyer, remember, a lawyer has to be licensed in that particular state. See, you can't get a lawyer from, say, Philadelphia or New York or any other state unless they're licensed in Louisiana. That's why it's a bigger problem, because it would have to be a lawyer who is licensed in your state. See? So it will take a little time, you know, to try to figure that out, but we're definitely going to be, you know, contacting some people that we know to see what the possibilities are. It's a problem getting a lawyer who has any understanding of what we're talking about in the first place and would be committed to our defense strategies. That's the problem in itself. But then on top of that, to find one in Louisiana, that's really like, you know. But, you know, again, it's really about money. And what that means is usually if enough money can be produced, you usually can at least get somebody to be the mouthpiece. And really, that's all we need.
Sister Amber.
Yes, Sister Amy.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Know how they be moving the court cases for other people to protect them to a different
right.
jurisdiction? Why can't that be a petition for them to move their case out of Louisiana because they can't get a fair trial in Louisiana?
Well, usually, Sister Amy, and I don't know all the absolute certainties of what I'm getting ready to say, but normally from what I've seen is the removal of a jurisdiction would not be out of the state per se. It would be out of that particular county. Okay, not from out of the state. Now, I will check that further to you know, to be sure. But what I'm saying is what we're going to do is send this information to two lawyers.
Let me share something with you. When they
okay.
was involved in a human experimentation of MK Ultra it went all the way to Germany, to the Nuremberg Code, and this was happening to United States citizens, and they took it that way. But maybe you can ask them, can they deal with the United States government, the Attorney General, what's her name, Hillary Clinton, of taking it out of that state?
No, she's Secretary of State. It's Eric Holden for the Justice Department.
Holden.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
See, the difference in what you're talking about, Sister Amy, is this. Murder is a different situation. A murder case is different from a corporate or international or human rights per se.
Yeah, but those people was murdered too.
Yeah, but the point that I'm making is they were murdered, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is that either a government or a corporation committed murder.
Right.
Is that correct? That's not the same as a citizen. It's not the same as a citizen. You're dealing with two different types of law. But again, I'm no authority in that regard, but what I will do is we'll send this information to the attorneys that we do work with, that we do have some trust in, and once they see it, they'll be able to tell us exactly how we can proceed, how we should proceed. One of the attorneys that we're going to send this information to is Brother Alton Maddox.
Right.
So we feel very confident that, you know, once he sees it, he'll be able to advise us in whatever way, you know, because he knows this stuff backwards and forwards.
And I'm glad you said that, Sister Empress. It's all about the trust, and that's another thing I really want us to do. I want us to develop, and instead of our people going to the law schools to represent them, be on their side, to be representing criminals, to keep oppressing our people, those are some things I can't wait to. This right here, I believe this is going to be an example. Let us stick together and show that this family would have been washed if we wouldn't work together to help stabilize the defective legal system that's used and designed to take our families down.
Well, Sister Amy, what we will do is at another time we will have another conversation and dialogue, because, see, to say what we should do is one thing. To map out how we can do that is another.
Right, and I know it's very important, because I'm only saying this because I see how they're using the system against us, and we are falling in the traps because we're not even seeing what. In other words, you go to law school, and I'm going to say this and let you get back over to the brother Marcus. We go to law school, we think we're going to represent people. No, you need to know who you really working for to work against your own people.
Okay, let's see, Sister Amy, and then we're going to go back to Marcus when I say this, and you and I will definitely revisit this conversation both directly and online in terms of, you know, sharing it with our community, and it's this. See, this is 2012, and what we have to do as a people is recognize and realize the truth. And the truth is people do what they do because they want to do that. So, in other words, the majority of folks that go to law school are going to law school to do exactly what you just said. That's the purpose of them going. They're not going, the majority are not going to help us. That's not why they're going. So to think that that's what's going to be going on, for real, I wouldn't suggest we try to go that route. I do suggest we begin to recognize those amongst us who may want to do that, and we support them doing that. But to think that the majority of people that go to law school are going to help black folks, they're going to either do it or they're going to the school to do that, that's a hallucination. And at this stage of the game, if we don't know that by now, we really don't have a clue. But we do know. So we do have quite a few clues. So let's go back to Marcus
And what I'd like to do is, now, Marcus, the hearing that's coming up on Monday, I didn't get all of the clarity on it, so I'm not sure how much of it you are aware of at this time, but can you tell us, what is this hearing supposed to do on Monday? What is it about?
I'm not sure what they're hearing about because they haven't, they called the hearing to be Monday so suddenly. Well, you know, it happened so quick. They said the hearing coming up Monday, and they would separate my mom and my dad into different courts.
Right.
I don't really know what it's about, what the hearing is about, but we definitely not prepared for it and don't have no type of lawyer to represent or to go in the court with us that day. And, you know, if we could get somebody, some lawyer, any lawyer to come, like you say, you got to be, have a license to practice in Louisiana to come and represent my mom, dad. This case, is not even qualified to even make it to trial, period. It's the indictment itself is fraudulent because it's repetitive. The whole thing is repetitive since the first indictment back in 2008. And they had no probable cause to even put the charges on them in the first place. So, saying that, I know, you know, I spoke to, my parents spoke to many attorneys, and they say once another indictment is starting, the other one is practically, you know, you can't even bring it back up. But they have no grounds to even proceed as of now. Like, the whole thing is based on hearsay in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they don't have no evidence and no anything. You just need somebody to come and brave enough and strong enough and come and represent, you know, what's right and get my parents from under this torture and under this kidnapping, really. It just took my parents to say, it's just kidnapping. I ain't going to even try to break it down to legal sense. They just taken them. They took them, and they locked them up.
Okay.
It wasn't about bonds. They, you know, they had 8 bonds on them, 8, that totaled up to $5.2 million. All right? When they got out of jail, and they reindicted, they took them back while releasing any other bonds. So they still got 8 bonds holding. And that's just money they got, and you can't get it back. And, you know, they broke us down, broke the whole family down. You know, me and my brother, we working day to day, every day trying to keep the phones on for them to communicate so they'll be prepared for when they have court. Because, you know, you don't have no lawyer, and you got to keep talking, you got to keep communicating. The boredom, they have to keep communicating to know where they stand, you know, and be prepared. You know, it's a good thing to have faith in God. You know, we got faith that no matter what they do, God, you know, stands for the righteous. And we will prevail, but we need somebody that will represent it, that will come in proper manner and come and just do it, you know.
Yep, believe me, I definitely know, but unfortunately, that's just not usually the way this thing goes. You know, especially in this day and age, cases are time consuming, and you know, lawyers are not lawyers because they want to help people. Usually, lawyers are there to make money. So, unfortunately, that's the situation, but we're going to put out several appeals. What we're going to do right now is open up the phone lines for those who may have comments or questions. that you feel that Marcus can answer at this time. We tell you this program is, well, not this program, but this topic, this issue will be an ongoing one because having been asked to get involved, we certainly plan to do so from the Black Women's Defense League standpoint and also from the Million Women Movement Human Rights Commission. So we're going to give you more information about that in terms of what our plans of action are at this point in time. As we indicated earlier, we are putting together a National Defense Committee, and with that, there are some direct action plans that are going with that. We do plan, of course, to begin sending letters to the Justice Department, so we'll give you more information about that, too. But right now, we're going to go to our live lines. And if you have a question or comment at this time, please push 1, and hopefully we can give you the response that you need. I'm going to go to caller. You're at 8872. Do you have a question or a comment for us tonight? 8872?
Yes. I want to give you a phone number. Reverend Pinckney started this for his for the gentleman's parents, and they call his number, his blog talk show, which is tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern, and to contact Reverend Pinckney himself on this issue so you can, join in with him, because Reverend Wright is also involved and a whole host of other people.
I'm sorry, sister. Let me just say this, because this is the first time I'm hearing about it when Sister Amy called in to tell us about it. So now I know Reverend Pinckney, and I'm not sure about Reverend Wright, but I've received no information from any of them.
Well,
so there's nothing being
circulated.
Number? Excuse me?
Do you have his number, his phone number, other than the blog talk?
I do. And he has mine also. So my point is that if you have national organizations that do this work, would it not be of some importance to make certain that those groups get that information?
Of course. That's why I asked. Making sure it's, I have people spreading this word.
Okay, but what I'm saying is the first information that I got was when Sister Amy called in to tell us about it.
I asked her to do that.
Okay, so my point being is at this point in time, that's not what I'm going to do. Okay? I'm just going to be straight up and real clear with you. Because the Male Woman
Point
is movement.
Have people supporting them, and that's not the only couple. There's a woman.
Yes, sister, hold it. Wait. Tonight, we're talking about the victors.
Right.
Now, if there's another case that you would like to talk about, then you need to contact me so that we can schedule that and give it the just due time that it would deserve. But you or no one else will call into this show and try to run it the way you want to do. That ain't going
to
happen.
No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just letting you
know. I'm just saying. No.
So that you can contact the,
Sister, stop. As I just told you, I know Reverend Pinckney. He knows me. If there's some information he wants me to have, he knows my number. He knows that we do a show every week for 5 years. So my point being...
Well, I didn't know that you had contacted him or not, because I gave the number
Legacy. Sister, did you send me information?
I've been going through a lot, so I give it
to... I understand
to,
that, but if
Amy,
you're telling me about... If you
I
can
mean,
tell
Sister
me
Ali.
About Reverend Pinckney, if you can tell me about Reverend Pinckney...
I didn't call you to get
you
angry.
You could have contacted me. Well, then, sister, I'm going to go
sorry.
Now.
That's
point
why
being,
I have other people
okay.
do things.
My
too.
Point being... My
Thank
point
you.
Being...
Thank you for listening.
We're not going to play games this time, okay?
I don't play games.
So,
I don't have time for them.
Well,
Well, then, anytime you're going to call me and tell me who I should be calling, you're playing
the
game.
I didn't say who you should be calling. I asked you, did you have Reverend Pinckney's phone number?
And
because
I'm saying to you, did you tell Reverend Pinckney, does he have my number?
I forgot to give it to him.
Moving right along. Thank you, sister. Okay.
Yes.
Now, see, this is the kind of stuff that I've been talking about, family. You know, as Marcus and as Sister Amy and as others have said, it's about unity. It really is. But for real, that's not what's going on. I know that, and I'm not going to play any games in regards to that, meaning people know the work that people do and the responsibilities that go with that. As I have gotten this information, I now have a responsibility to send it out to all of the networks that I know, especially of those groups that do certain types of work. And we know of groups all over the country that do prison, human rights, and so forth. Now, these same groups know that we do this work. And therefore, when they have a case or a situation, they have a responsibility to get that information to us, as we have to get to others, okay? So I'm really saying that from the Black Women's Defense League and from the Million Woman Movement standpoint, we know this work, we do it, and if other people want to join on to the campaign that we are now launching, we welcome them to do so. But no one has sent us any information prior to Sister Amy. Simple as that. And that's who I'm referencing, and that's who I'm going to say is the one that contacted us, and that's all there is to that. So now, moving right along, the plan is, because I don't know of any other plan, haven't heard of any other plan, the plan is on this end to get this information circulated, and with that said, we will begin to get letters sent to the Justice Department on behalf of the victors. Now, we do know that Sister Belinda Brown has a group, and they have been working on this case along with the whole issue of what's going on in Louisiana. My particular focus is specifically dealing with this case, okay? And again, I have to be very clear about certain things, meaning this is the case that the Black Women's Defense League, the Million Woman Movement, will be working on as it pertains to that particular issue. Now, what other people do and however they want to do it is fine. That has nothing to do with me. We need to connect at some point, but I've heard no other plans of action. Conversation is good. Plans of action, for me, is what it is about. So, with that said, are there any other comments, questions that folk may have? If so, please feel free to push one now. And please remember, family, we appreciate your comments and your calls and so forth, but be real clear. We've done this work for a long time, and we appreciate your suggestions and your support. But up till now, no one has contacted us about being involved in any action, okay? And so, you know, I hope you all understand what I'm saying about that. We've gotten into situations before where we got involved in cases and, you know, other people were doing things, and that's fine, but you can't tell us what to do or how to do it. It's not going to happen. So be real clear about that. Now, moving right along. Marcus, you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good. And see, this is what you need to hear and know and understand. We take no stuff from nobody, period. We get no paychecks. We ain't looking for a check from nobody. Therefore, we don't have to play games. And what I mean by play games is whatever other people are doing, we applaud them. We say, yes, wonderful. We support it. But we haven't been asked to support anything at this point.
No one has contacted us about anything except for Sister Amy. And once she did, we got on the case and got involved, and that's when I called you directly. Okay? So I'm letting you hear that from me because I don't like, you know, in between people, middle people, I don't do that. Okay? So in the future, again, if you don't hear it from me, don't hear it. If it's something coming from the Million Women Movement and or the Black Women's Defense League, if you don't hear it from me, don't even think twice about it, okay? Marcus?
Yes, ma'am. Got it.
Okay. All right. So you have my direct number. Anything you need to ask me or talk to me about, you can do that directly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, moving right along again. Sister Amy, do you know of any other actions that have been proposed or has been coordinated?
Well, what's happening is when I went over to Reverend Pinckney's show, I heard this man's cry. And like you said earlier, I put aside my pain and thought about his pain. And he just was sincere about wanting help and just hearing the story. So what I did, I thought about nobody but yourself because the way you work. And I know how you are, how you work. And for me knowing how you work, I said, I got to go to Empress. And I believe that God put that on my heart to lead, take the ball and run with it and bring it to you. Not saying that Reverend Pinckney would have, but I understand what you're saying. You're saying when there's something like this, the alarm has to be sounded. So I felt like I had to sound the alarm myself because this could be me and my family in a situation as a hostage. And I took myself out of the situation I'm dealing with and placed myself in this family's position. And it just all just came to me where I needed to get to somebody that would not play around with the situation but want to investigate and see if it's something sincere that could be done. And that's how I was led and moved by the Spirit to come to you.
Okay. All right. Well, Marcus, let me say this. This is the 24th, okay? I'm going to say by the 26th, we will have contacted two attorneys that we know and who are the type of attorneys that do work for our people. We will send this information to them, and I mentioned one being Austin Maddox. There is another one that's in the southern region. We'll send this information to him. Number two, on Monday, we will have ready a template, meaning a draft of a letter that will go to the Attorney General. And what I'll do is I'll send that to you so that you can see it first before we begin sending it out. And again, this will be Monday, okay, so that people who want to get involved can begin to do something by sending letters to the Attorney General. And then we'll also look at, for later on in the week, getting a website up and a petition up on behalf of your parents, okay? So by the end of next week, we will have a petition circulated, ready to go, a tentative website up that can begin to put some information out that will begin lifting the facts. Now, I did speak with Sister Belinda, and she's going to assist with getting a fact sheet done so that you don't have to keep repeating the story unnecessarily. People be able to go to a website or go somewhere online and get access to the facts of this situation. When it happened, where it happened,
you know, A, B, and C, those types of things. Okay? This is direct action. This is not just conversation. And that's what has to happen. When I talked to your parents the other day, not only did they say it, but I could hear it in their voices that they're tired. They're tired. They're still going to fight, but I could tell in their voices that, you know, they really have had enough. And I know what that's like. I know what that's about. That's why I don't have the tolerance for BS now, because I've been there in certain other situations.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, when I went to their visitation on Thursday, me and my younger brother went to see my dad and my mom, and you could see how it just hurt me to see how tired it was when you talk. You hear the rasp in his voice. And but you know, I'm proud that he's still strong no matter what they do, what the odds is. You can't stop him from fighting. And you know, I look up to that, to my dad. You know, my father is my idol to me. Just seeing that no matter what they did, no matter what, you know, what we went through, he's still the same person he was when it started. And he's still fighting, and we could use all the help we could get. And I appreciate you, Miss Belinda Brown, and Sister Amy for stepping up. You know, I'm thankful beyond imagination, because I can't even put it into words how, you know, we needed that. We needed somebody to finally hear it after all these years of it, and being in jail, him and her being in jail for months with no criminal history. They don't have no criminal history.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I spoke to him tonight, and right now he's going through something with his body. He getting a rash going all around his body, and they're not doing nothing. They're not giving him nothing. They're giving him cream, but it's having no real effect. It's probably making it worse, and it's just too much for one person, for a whole family to be going through. Really unnecessarily, if you just gotta have somebody, you know. That's why I'm glad that it's finally getting heard.
Mm-hmm.
on a national level, and people's eyes were gonna get open to it, and God will prevail throughout the whole case, and it's gonna turn out the right way.
Okay, well, I agree. You know, I definitely agree, and you know, certainly it's unfortunate, but these are the types of injustices that, again, are happening all over the country. And as you have said, as Sister Amy has said, as many of our people say, we are not organized to the degree that we need to be as a people. These situations keep coming up, and we're not prepared because, you know, the things that we depend on for representation are not the things that are really for and about us. And so as a result, you know, we end up depending on groups or people who really are connected to the system in such a way that they do not operate in the best interest of our people and cannot. So we must become more organized, more proactive, and certainly not have that sellout mentality, because that is oftentimes what again happens. I'm so thankful that your family, that your parents took a position, you know, with who they are. It truly makes my job a little easier. And what I mean by that is when you're dealing with people who have a pride about themselves, who they are,
who also have an appreciation and love for us as a people. It just makes it a little easier to do certain things because you don't have to watch as much what you say or who you say it to. And also it doesn't allow other people to come in and try to take over.
Right.
See? And that is a lot of times what happens when you're dealing with justice matters. You get, you know, we always want anyone who wants to help to do so, but I'm just going to say it straight up, plain and simple. White people had a tendency to get involved in situations so that they can really control it, you see. And what I found in the past is that when I have spoken out against that, then I end up getting demonized. I've had a case that I worked with a few years ago that once one thing went wrong, it became a big issue. And it really wasn't even about that. It was really about white people being all up in it and not really wanting a pro-black kind of perspective. And that's why I say that, you know, there should be a variety of groups or a variety of representation. You know, Reverend Pinckney do his thing, and somebody else do what they do, and somebody else do what they do in the style and in the fashion that they do it in. But all of us don't need to be doing the same thing in the same kind of way. We want the same outcome, but the people that I will be able to connect directly to may not be the same people that someone else would be directly connected to. I'm not a multiculturalist. That's not how I operate. Never have, never will. I'm pro-black. I make no shame and no, you know, apologies about that whatsoever. I'm about black folks. I don't care what religion they are. I don't care what nationality they are, none of that.
Right.
Just that they're black, period, or African, or whatever you want to call it. It's cool with me. Melanated. That is who I fight for, will fight for, and so forth and so on. A whole bunch of other stuff, I ain't in it. Ain't trying to be in it. I do not have to smile in white folks' faces. Period. And they ain't going to. You see? So that's, you know, and I have to say that clearly to you so that you know where I'm coming from. Because, you know, I don't want there to be any confusion about that. And it doesn't mean that I cannot be diplomatic or I, you know, don't work with other people. I do. I do stuff on an international level. I do stuff in the UN. So I have to be very, you know, diplomatic. But at the same time, I do not play games with people. I take care of business. I do what I got to do. But at the same time, you know who I am. You know what I represent. And I will never back down from that, no matter what circle I'm in. See? So, again, you know, there is a variety of things that need to happen. I'm just making it very clear that from my direction, this is what it is.
Right. You know, okay? You know, yeah, you got to be, you know, like Christ said, you be one body. You know, the body have many members that does different functions, you know, and all
right.
of them got to co-react in it. Respond to each other to make a, you know, to serve a purpose, and that's you know, that's to represent one part of the body is important. And like you say, you work in that realm, and you're gonna do the best. You're the best at that realm and at doing what you do. And you know, we need to get people together, like you said from the beginning. Unify people together, we'll be stronger. And work in all different areas simultaneously.
That's right.
We could solve many problems, you know.
Absolutely.
And, easier said than done, though, because I don't know what it is. It's hard getting people to move on time, you know. But that's why I thank God for people like you, Miss Belinda, and Sister Amy. I seen Miss Melinda came down here today and visited with my grandmother and talked to
mm-hmm.
her. And I showed her around and showed her the projects my dad had going and how we built the house. The family stood together. We built our own house together, 12,000 square feet and 14 bedrooms. Yeah. And that was put on the halt when this happened. And since that, it's been wearing down. And people have been, it's been looted. And they took stole stuff from it and tore it down. It's still up there, though. But whatever God have for you is going to be there, you know. It's like Job lost everything. And he got 10 times what he had before once God restored to him. And I believe, no matter what they do, when you stand for what's right, righteousness will prevail no matter what the odds is. And we got to keep faith. Faith is powerful. You got to keep it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, my brother, I'm truly, glad to hear, of the type of faith and character that you have. And that's certainly, very, very important. Your parents have done a wonderful job. Because you are representing them, and you are doing so in a very honorable way. And, and I thank you as well as them, for doing that. Okay, Stanley, we have extended our program for tonight just in case you were worrying, or not worrying, but just in case you were thinking that we will have to close out in 5 minutes, which we normally do, but we were fortunate enough to extend our program for an additional 30 minutes because we did not want to have Marcus rush through, what he wanted to say. And also, would like for you, give you the opportunity to comment or, to say something about this particular issue or something relevant to this issue. Again, if you have a comment or a question that you would like to bring forward, please feel free to push 1 now, and we will be more than happy to bring you in on the dialogue. I'm sorry, Sister Amy, where are you located again? What state?
I'm in Richmond, California, near the Bay Area, in the Bay Area.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right. Just trying to gauge a couple of things because, again, we are going to work on a car caravan. And it's so ironic because one of our brothers here who has been formerly incarcerated, when he heard of this case or this situation, that's the first thing, one of the first things that he said, let's do a car caravan, and this is why, again, in connecting with people who really understand these types of issues, it's going to be about action. It's going to be about what can we do to bring greater attention to this case, to this situation. What types of things can we strategize to...
I am coming to Philadelphia for the 8th. And the 9th and the 10th, and I'll be out of there by the 11th morning.
Okay. Yeah, I was supposed to be leaving the country. I was supposed to be going back to Africa for that first week. But as it turns out, my schedule is being changed, so I will be still in the States during that time period. But I'm not sure if I'll be in Philadelphia at that particular time. I know I'll be here for the 2nd because we have an event coming up on the 2nd. On the 8th and 9th or thereabouts, there's always something off of Mumia around that time period. On December 9th, that's the anniversary date that Mumia was almost killed by Philadelphia police. And, of course, the campaign to continue to get Mumia free is still, very much in the forefront. So usually on or around December the 9th here in Philadelphia. There's usually some program or some activity that's focusing on Mumia Abu-Jamal. That's also, of course, December 10th is Human Rights, International Human Rights Day.
Right, that's why I'm coming.
Okay, what event or what program will you be coming for?
We are fighting with all the targeted individuals of any human rights violation, but specifically for the electronic harassment and torture and the surveillance by the government using this high advanced technology on us and covertly putting human implants in our bodies and spraying the skies with the chemtrail, where we're breathing in these barium, titanium, and aluminum soft metal particles in our bodies, that's making everybody radioactive. And a lot of people are not aware, and that the technology with them using this radiation on the body, they can instantly kill you with a push of a button. A lot of people don't know that this advanced technology is you can be covertly murdered and you don't even not aware of it. So I want to give you this website to read this information. It's Paul. What is a psychotronic weaponry? And that's why we come in, because a lot of people don't know this technology is being used to murder people, because it's a silent weapon, and they don't need to be in physical form. They can push the button and send electromagnetic energy and murder somebody. They can stop the heart. They can give them any type, mimic symptoms of illnesses and create a death for people. So I personally wanted to share that information. Thank you for sharing.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Amy. And again, on another program, we'll be able to go more in depth on that particular issue. But let me just ask one quick question, and hopefully you'll give me a quick answer, and that is, so what does that have to do with coming to Philadelphia? As opposed to another city?
Oh, because it's some TIs live in Philadelphia as well. We are all over the United States. That's why.
So is there a conference or some other kind of major event? Is there a rally? What exactly will be happening in Philadelphia in regard to that particular issue?
We're going to put our plans and actions this week. Me and Sister Gloria, she lives in Philadelphia, we're going to get all the TIs together, and we're going to find out what location we're going to go out and just protest, you know, to support the human rights movement.
Okay. All right. Well, definitely keep me posted, you know, about
yes,
that.
Ma'am.
We are based here in Philly, and anything that is relevant to our people, we certainly, you know, would like to support. Okay. With that said, wow. I don't know if people know that December the 2nd is also an international day, and it's an international day of observance for the Middle Passage. So we will be doing something here in Philadelphia on December 2nd in recognition of that, and it'll also serve as another session that will go towards the convention that'll be in Benin next year. That will be the first African Diasporic Human Rights Convention, and that will take place in Benin next December. We were going to try to do it this year, but it just wasn't enough time to coordinate it. So we'll take this whole year coming in to really plan it in the best way possible, and then present it next December, right around the time of International Human Rights Day. We'll be doing that in Benin, West Africa, and it will focus on the various types of human rights violations throughout the diaspora. So we'll be giving folks more information about that as well, because it's an ongoing program and ongoing project. Okay, let's go back to Brother Marcus. Wow. Brother Marcus, what I'm going to need for you to do, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow or soon thereafter.
When we were talking about, we have no room for individualism in the African community, because these people are not coming at us as now, you listen very carefully to the statement, otherwise you will miss what's being said. They are not individually coming at us as individuals. They are collectively coming at us as individuals, targeting the whole population of the African people here in America. This is how I choose to identify us, as the African people here in America. As stated earlier, we have no time to argue about what we keep calling ourselves. We need to recognize and deal with the common foe, the common enemy, the common one who is striking out and fighting against us. This case that they're talking about is just as the case with Mumia, only under tremendously different circumstances. Here you have a child who has suffered from an asthma attack, something that they know can be equated to natural causes, yet they will charge the family with what? Negligent homicide or some charge therein. They probably haven't even created the charge yet. They just got them behind bars. Simply because this is a family that is doing something in the community of a forward progress. And if the community allows it to happen, which they feel they can't stop, then this is what takes place. This country should be off of its rocker anytime injustices take place like this. This is why we talk about what the president can and can't do. He can't get involved in these state-to-state cases until he is ready to come up out of office, giving pardons to those who deserve. But the supremacist system, which we keep talking about, which stands, which shows its existence at every turn. So it would behoove us to recognize what we're dealing with and why we're dealing with it, so it can be dealt with. To deny that it exists is to the detriment of us as a people. And we have 8872 back on the line, and let's see what they have to say.
Okay.
8872.
I'm not sure how they got the information so they can get the correct information, because the son said something that may, in my eyes, that may hurt things better more than help things.
Okay.
Anyway, to reach Reverend Meekney.
We've gotten a cross-section here.
Do you mind if I get the number out in the blog talk number for 5 Eastern tomorrow?
No, go ahead and give it, because, see, I'm not going to argue with you, you know. Put the information out and let it go. That's that.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to argue with her either. Mm-hmm. All right, 269, this is the personal number, 925.
Okay. How did we tie in to Brother Lamas's? Okay, I think we got it now. Okay, very good. Now, apparently we were listening to Brother Ramasus, and he was he attached us into his program. So apparently Sister Elvira, who was the one that called into our program a few minutes ago, has now called into Brother Ramasu's program. And see how we all connect? Brother Ramasu got the information that he just heard on our program, and now he has already transmitted it on to his program. So that's how this works. So I think what happened was we had Sister Amy on, and somehow she was connected to Brother Ramasu's show, and we were able to funnel that through. But anyway, family, that's kind of how this thing works. Again, we pass information on to one another. Those who are in certain circles, those who are doing certain work, we have the responsibility to make certain that they're able to get access to the information and pass it on to others. And that is exactly what we've done here and what we will continue to do. Okay, moving right along. We still have Brother Marcus Victus with us, and we've been talking again about his family, his mother and father, Errol and Tanya Victus. And we've also talked about some plans of action that we are going to implement within the next few days. And so, okay, looks like we have Sister Amy back. I'm going to bring her back in for a minute. Okay, Sister Amy, do we have you back on me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so somehow we were able to funnel into Brother Ramesses' show.
Yes, I heard.
Okay.
And I was very happy that Brother Ramesses brought it up and talked to his audience about what you were sharing, and it was very, very, very powerful and concerning. So I'm glad you and him have a great dialogue, because when I clicked back over there to hear what he was saying, he was letting them know, if we don't do nothing to help this family, then it's no different than us being in the position we are in. So I just want to say again, thank you, Sister Empress, of making this move and going forward. And I don't understand the misunderstanding, but I understood personally what it was that you are saying to Elvira, Sister Elvira. You're basically saying that if nobody else contact you, you don't have time, everybody don't do the same thing. And Brother Marcus explained it very well when he said it's like a lot of people working on a knee surgery, and we're doing different things to get to the solution. So I appreciate everything and everybody's hard work, because this family do need to be free. And I'm really proud of Brother Marcus, father, family, trying to do the things that was doing before his life got interrupted as a strong structure for our original people to know that we have to do for self. So I thank you for even picking that up, and I truly believe that's why they attacked this man and his family, our brother. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Absolutely. And this is why it's so important, Sister Amy, that as we proceed in dealing with this situation, that we're able to analyze it and break it down. Because it's important that people see and know how this system operates and why. You know, it's not just, this happened. And no, there's some other things. I already know, without having physically met Mr. Victus, I already know this is a strong black man, period. I already know that, you see, because knowing and hearing what this system has done, they don't do that to weak black people. For what? They have no need to. They already got them. See, so once you are in tune to comprehending how this system operates, then it's not difficult to put the pieces together. You see, so with that said, you know, we move forward, and we move forward in the mindset of what we call, again, direct action. And also what the Men and Women Movement does is now implement what we also now call practical unity. And this is what I meant earlier when I said to you and also to Brother Marcus, it is one thing to say what we should do as a people. This is now so-called 2012, almost 13. Our people have been going through this for 500 years. So you would think by now, It was so easy to say, we should do this, we should do that. Don't you think with all that has happened within 500 years, if it was that cut and dry, obviously we would be doing that. But the mere fact is, we are not. And we are not because it's just not that easy. And not to say easy, but there's some other pieces there that we haven't really looked at. And again, one of the things that we introduce is the concept of practical unity. Because to tell people or to say to our people, we need to unify, we need to come together. Okay, that's fine. But how? What is going to bring that about? We can keep saying it all day and night. But what are the applications? What are the operations? What is the formulas? What are the remedies to make that happen? Because truly, our people have wanted that for 500 years.
Sister Empress.
Yes, ma'am.
I truly believe a situation like this one to challenge the system and to know victory can be won.
I'm sorry, say it again, sister. I didn't quite get that.
I truly believe a situation like the Victor family with us coming together and challenges the system and to fight for a victory, that will be the first step of us coming together. Because I came to you, but you didn't say no, sister, or talk, but you actually doing something. And I really appreciate even what Ramesu said. But you said something that made me feel like, oh, thank God. You said, I'm going to do this, 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 and I'm going to have it done within at the end of the week. You talked to this brother. So that right there is the start of it taking place. Unity. I came with the, I brought like the messenger. I went out and scouted out from the village. Went back and brought this information back to the village. And then you looked at it, okay, this is a situation. Our people are in trouble. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to tolerate it. I'm examining the information before I do anything, and let's go from there. And then not only that, you're talking about caravanning and all these different things. So those, like you said, it has something to do with finding out and planning actions and putting action in place. And don't be afraid of who they are and how powerful they claim to be. Because I do respect when you even use the word that you said that this situation happened to you in a different way, but you got caught up in them wanting to control the situation, wanting to make you look like the villain in the situation, when in fact your role is to be concerned about your people. And I respect that. And when I first came and met you, you said something to me, and I wasn't offensive. But then when I got to examining why you said what you said, we need help. And if we all helping everybody else and not doing for self first, then that will continue to be in this situation. And I truly believe that you want to see, before the good master call you home, you want to see this chain and shackle broken off our minds. I do believe that. I strongly believe their time is up. But do we know their time is up? That's what I believe. We have been keeping this system alive.
Sister Amy, I'll say this, and again, I want to, kind of stay on point, and I'll go back to Brother Marcus in a few minutes, but keep in mind, again, these conversations that we are having, our ancestors also had. So the reality is we have to look at how to keep it, meaning there have been periods in time where unity was very visible and it was enacted. It was done. But we have to be real clear about what happened. For example, during the 50s and the 60s, we had a lot of things going on. Not only the civil rights movement, but the black liberation movement. And as soon as this system saw that our people were coming together, organizing, working, getting stuff done. What happened? Something called COINTELPRO. Our people were set up. Our people were killed. Our people you name it. You see? So what you're saying is not something that hasn't happened before. It has. But the lessons that we have to learn from it is how do we keep it going? How do we sustain it? That's what we got to look at doing today, not the mere fact that, we need to come together, we need to unify. Well, you've had groups that have done that. You've had periods in time where some of that has happened. But what has also happened is we let other people come in and dismantle that. We let saboteurs in. We let other of our own people who really don't have our best interests at heart sell us out, and we let them. So the bottom line is, yes, this case, this situation is one of those situations that will bring us together. Just as with the Trayvon Martin, just as with the Jenna 6, just as with so many other situations. And then after that, people go on about their little business. That's not substantial unity. That's not practical unity. And these are the things that we've got to strive towards building now, you see. And learn to be respectful, more respectful to one another. That's the first step right there, you see. And so these are things that have to be kind of mapped out and pointed out. Right. So, and this is just the truth and the reality of the matter. You see. So, and I'm going to go back to say this because I need to make this clearer. When Sister Elvira called in to say that I should call Reverend Pinckney, to me that was disrespectful. See, I took the time to call Marcus. I took the time to sit to listen to his parents when they called me. Now, why do I need to call Reverend Pinckney? That's disrespectful. I'm a leader in my own right. So I don't understand that kind of psychology or mentality, and I'm not going to allow it. So I'm saying that to those who are listening, that, again, we welcome all of our people's comments and calls and so forth, but let's be realistic and let's be mindful that we all have work that we're doing, and just as I can make a phone call, so can someone else, bottom line. So, just wanted to bring that point of clarity about. Let's go back to Marcus. Marcus, I know you have said that you want to, see us deal with this issue, see us unify, and so forth and so on. Let me just ask, are there any other specific things that you would like to see us do at this time? Well, anything that you might have thought of? Go ahead.
One day I learned from my dad, he was like, I spoke to him about what can I do, because the world is operated by money. Nobody's they don't move to help you try and get like lawyers and stuff like that. They operate by money. So he was like, no real organization with power, they need financial backing. And the type of, my dad always had a business mind, and that's the type that made him a target for white supremacists and stuff like that, because he was independent. He didn't need a job, or he wasn't dependent on a bank. He went and produced it on his own and made millions. And what he can do, the second time he was in jail, he raised his own bond money in jail, speaking on the phone to the people. And they, you know, he used to have banking presidents come to his office and ask him for advice on how to run the thing. He had a mind for that, and he became a target. So what he's saying is he made these music CDs, gospel. He made gospel CDs, and he was like, you know, we need to use this to raise a defense fund. And you know, we need an avenue to get to, you know. If 1,000 people, at $10 a CD, if 1,000 people, you know, donate to get the CD, that's $10,000 at one time, you know.
Right.
$100,000, a million, you know. A million people is $10 million, and that's going to start a real movement and real power. It's sad to say, but it's just fact, money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like going toward organizations like yours, raising money for that, it'll give you more, you know, more. You could reach out more. You could do more things. You could call in more people. That's just how it works, you know. So if there's a way to help, you know, we could get together, and I got these music CDs he made.
Okay.
And the music is spectacular. I got to give it to you. I think I emailed it to you, but I don't know if...
Yeah, I wasn't able to download it.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to give you a CD.
Okay.
All
right.
I'm
going
to have to...
So
I'll,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you what. With the so-called holiday season coming up, and family, don't get this misconstrued now, please. This is a reality, meaning for whatever reason, folks do spend those few little extra dollars during a certain time period. Okay, so with that said, Brother Marcus, please get the CD to me. And what we'll begin to do is see how we can get that CD funneled through some of our networks. There's the Innocence Project, there's the Concerned Family and Friends from Mumia, there's so many different groups and organizations that we are connected to. And we know that they would support, you know, something like that, you know, to get a CD to help go towards the defense and you know, you all, the family, you know, being more stabilized. So please, I'll call you tomorrow to give you the mailing address, and I'll also email it to you so you'll have it, and then that way, you know, we can go from there.
Yeah, and the music... That's- The music itself is incredible. I can't express it, but you gotta listen to it. It's crazy.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? And you know, that's just one way to produce more, you know, some income to make a defense fund. My dad is, you know, that's what he do. He produced. He's been productive ever since. He always taught us to do for yourself, you know. Because
that's right.
Don't rely on the job to be the supplier, the main income for a family. You know,
that's
what if
right.
you lose the job? What if you lose the job? Then you're gonna be, you know, you're gonna be lost. You gotta have something that you can stand on, no matter what happens in the world economy, that you could still produce and feed your family. And
that's right.
I've been taught that since I was young, and that made him more of a target to teach that, to bring that into light and fruition to the black youth, and me and my stepbrothers, he tried to enhance, put that into their brain, even though they didn't want to adapt because all their life they were school, we didn't have enough time with them, and all of us was homeschooled. And he was used to that type of thinking, you know.
Right.
Like, you know, once before, this was a while back, my dad used to take these cardboard boxes. At the time, stores was emptying. When they filled their shelf, they just left with these cardboard boxes and then put it in a dumpster. Well, he found ways to take those boxes and recycle them And he was making, he was producing like $60-$70 a year on just boxes. And nobody understood. When the stores caught on, they started to do, you know, recycle their own boxes. But he was the first to do that in his parish, the first to really make steps towards independence. And like I say, they don't like that. You if one person do that, the next will learn from it, the next will learn from it. And it's once that, then they'll have no real, you know, we stuck, as black people, we stuck primarily in a labor force. We just they too to get stuff done. They don't want us to think about what we could do for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
All they want to do is go to school, go to college, get a job. Get a job, find a job, work for somebody, get a job. And you know, that's really, to me, that's scary. I don't want to be the type of dude that is relied upon a job to support a family. And I appreciate my dad so, I look up to him for that type of mentality and integrity. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marcus, again, this is just the first of these dialogues, and we will begin to proceed in the manner that I feel you and particularly your parents would want. Unfortunately, we are down to our last couple of minutes. I want to thank Brother Marcus again for taking the time to share this information with us tonight, and we will most certainly continue in the very near future. Brother Marcus, we got like 1 minute left, so you want to give us your closing comment?
Yes, ma'am. I thank you, Ms. Empress, for everything you're doing. It's spectacular, and Ms. Amy, Sister Amy, for hearing, you know, and Ms. Belinda Brown, Reverend Pigmy, and just for being that type of force, and that's a great. It is immaculate, and I know it's gonna get greater than this. It's gonna go to the next level, if you know. Once my parents get relief from this, we'll work together. All of us work together and get to a greater level where we could really make some real steps in the independence for black.
Absolutely. All right, family. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. We thank all of you again for tuning in and certainly invite you to join us back next week. Until then, we leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there can be no real peace, no real Hotep, until there is true Ma'at, true justice. Until next week, the struggle continues. Tutanana.